ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 19, entitled The Appearance of Shukadeva Goswami, Text Number 16. Punas cha bhayad bhagavati anante rati prasangash cha tarashayeshu mahatsu yam upayami shrishtim maitri astu sarvatra namo dvijebhyah punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante rati prasangascha tadasya yeshu mahatsu yang upayami shrishtim maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijebhya punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante rati prasangascha tadasya yeshu mahatsu yang upayami shrishtim maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijebhya. Rati prasangascha tadashayeshu suyam yang upayami shrishtim maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijebhya. Ladies, anyone? Punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante rati prasangascha tadashayeshu mahatsu yam yam upayami shrishtim maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijebhya. Puna, again, cha, and, bhuyat, let it be, bhagavati, unto Lord Sri Krishna, anante, who has unlimited potency, rati, attracting, prasanga, association, cha, also, tat, his, ashrayeshu, with those who are his devotees, mahatsu, within the material creation, yam yam, wherever, upayami, I may take, shishtim, my birth, maitri, friendly relation, astu, let it be, sarvatra, everywhere, nama, my obeisances, dvijebhya, unto the brahmanas. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Again, offering obeisances unto all you brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with His devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. Please repeat. Again, offering obeisances unto all you brahmanas. I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with His devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. Report. That a devotee of the Lord is the only perfect living being is explained herein by Maharaj Parikit. A devotee of the Lord is no one's enemy, although there may be many enemies of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord does not like to associate with non-devotees, although he has no enmity with them. He desires association with the devotees of the Lord. This is perfectly natural because birds of the same feather mix together. And the most important functions of a devotee is to have complete attachment for Lord Sri Krishna, the Father of all living beings. As a good son of the Father behaves in a friendly way with all his other brothers, so also the devotee of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relation with the Supreme Father. He tries to bring back the upstart sons of the Father to a saner stage and to get them to accept the Supreme Fatherhood of God. Maharaj Parikit was certainly going back to Godhead, but even if he were not to go back, he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. A pure devotee does not desire the company of a personality as great as Brahma, but he prefers the association of a petty living being, provided he is a devotee of the Lord. Whew. Spectacular purport. Om Agyane Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Maitan Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namo Agam Kuro Divachalam Pangam Langai Tegirim Yadkipatam Amande Sri Gurum Dina Tarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishvaram. So, Srila Prabhupada begins his purport here with a very bold statement that a devotee of the Lord is the only perfect living being is explained herein by Maharaj Parikit. Of course, there would be a lot of discussion about just that one statement. Some people speculate that because the living being has taken birth into this world, he's imperfect and forever imperfect. And that because he's born into sin, their speculation, because he's born into sin, there's no question of becoming sinless. And, of course, there's no remedy. To that fallen condition. Although they may say, well, unless you accept the Son of God. Of course, we can, to those who are a little bit more thoughtful, we can accept that principle as well. Because it's by accepting the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Where is the question of becoming liberated from this material world? There's no question. As we heard very nicely yesterday, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Vimur Muktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshi Tasangi Sangam, that it's by the association and the service to the Vaishnavas, Tamo Dwaram Yoshi Tasangi Sangam, that the doors to the spiritual world are open. Whereas conversely, we're associating with those in the material world who we can understand that the general mass of people are full of abominable qualities. So that sort of association, the devotees, they do not desire. So to say that the devotee of the Lord is the only perfect living being is the fact. Because according to the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, he explains, because someone may ask, well, how can you make that sort of assertion? According to what logic? But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, guna karma vibhagasha, that according to one's quality and work, we can make a judgment about a person. If their quality is in the mode of ignorance, their activities are manifest in an ignorant way, as we see in the general society, because people are totally overwhelmed by the modes of ignorance and passion. Their activities are full of ignorance and passion. So we can say that according to the Lord, that we can make that sort of judgment, that the devotee of the Lord is the most perfect person, because those qualities manifest in the person of a devotee. They manifest in the those good qualities. They manifest in the person of a devotee who's engaged in who has developed unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Right? Yes, yes, the bhakti bhagavatiya kinchana. That because the devotees are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, their good qualities naturally manifest. It's not that they have to endeavor separately, as the jnanis and yogis may, just as we heard yesterday so nicely from Akuna Dutt, that there are different processes and there's different levels of advancement and understanding and logic and yoga practice. But all of these works are the results of those works, we understand from Srimad Bhagavatam, are manifest in the person of a devotee, one who has developed the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. And whereas those who may be very adept at practicing some mystic yoga, or they may be very honorable in maintaining their households. Certainly there are those who are engaged in severe austerities and practices, whether it be karma or jnana or yoga, and they may be very expert. But the Bhagavatam explains that because they're driven by mental speculation, there's no question of them developing the proper qualities. Therefore, Prahlad says, "Na te vidu sartha gadami Vishnu," that actually they don't know what to do. Actually, they don't know what the goal is. And they're striving. Again, they may be very expert in their practices. And they're achieving so many different levels of awareness, even to the point of becoming liberated from the bodily concept of life. Still, it's not enough. Still, it's not enough. Therefore, Prabhupada explains here in the purport very nicely, how is it that Maharaj Parikshit is seeing and stating the most, the highest truth. How is it? Because the devotees of the Lord, again, are not driven by mental speculation. They're not wavering, trying to figure out what is the goal of life or what is the purpose and what is all of this around us. No. Simply by engaging in the process of bhakti yoga, all of these this knowledge and realization, and for that matter, ability, becomes manifest. Therefore, we don't look at the person of a devotee as a ordinary person. Trishtaya svabhave janatarva pushas chadoshar. The Upadeshamrita describes that because the devotee is situated in his original position of devotional service, he doesn't identify with the body. And even though he may be born of a low family, because again, in the material world, there are so many different estimations that we make of other people. Oh, this person is born in a low-class family. All right, he's on the other side of town. He's in a bad neighborhood someplace. Or he may have a bad complexion. Oh, well, this person, he's not of the same color. Let's build that 80-foot-high wall and make sure that nobody gets in. And then we'll put electrified fence on top. And we'll patrol it very carefully. Make sure that these people that don't look like us don't get in. Or the devotee of the Lord may be deformed. Sometimes, again, we put this this estimation on someone. Oh, this person, he looks strange, right? He may have some deformity, or he may have some infirmity in life, in his physical being. So, again, this is the material conception of perfection. If the person doesn't look like this, doesn't live in such and such place, doesn't have such and such wealth, then they're not civilized, or they're not of the higher the higher civilization. No. And those who are advanced in knowledge can see beyond that. And Gangambasham Kulabud Baina Pankhair. Right, Rupa Goswami describes that in the winter season especially, Sometimes the Ganga is full of bubbles, foam, and mud. And in the material vision, one will think, oh, I can't take bath in such a place. I remember one year we were in Mayapur, and we were taking a bath in the Ganga, and all of a sudden there was this terrible odor that came out of nowhere. And the devotees were looking around and they were wondering, what is going on here? And so we got out of the water and walked up a river just a short distance, not far, just 2 minutes. And there was this dead body floating along the bank. And right next to the dead body were these pilgrims who were just taking their bath in a nice, casual way. They were just laughing with each other, washing their hair nicely. And I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, are you serious? And then the next moment I realized, I'll just see my mentality. The Ganga cannot be contaminated. It cannot be polluted. Even though there may be foam, bubbles, and mud. Even there may be ashes flowing, just like if you go to Haridwar and you go to Harkipur, the main Brahma Ghat, and you take bath there, right next to you, there will be so many people with ashes doing some puja. They throw it in the water, and pilgrims just go inside the water and take bath. Flowers and the ashes are floating all around. No one pays attention. The devotees of the Lord, in that sense, in that way, we can understand are very special persons. We can make that judgment that because they're engaged in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord, they should be considered the most perfect living beings. And again, in the material realm, these are all unknowns. They don't really understand this, a general mass of people. Therefore, there may be many enemies of the devotees, as Prabhupada points out here. The devotee of the Lord is no one's enemy, because he's developed all of these natural qualities, these godly qualities. But there may be many persons who are enemies of the devotee. Therefore, the devotee has to be very tolerant. Right? We have to tolerate so many abusive things. Years ago, and devotees have so many experiences. We would go on Harinam in downtown Denver, I remember, and from the second, third story of this office building that we would always chant, people would throw stuff. They would throw hot coffee, hot water, all kinds of debris, sometimes food items. They would just throw it onto the devotees. So sometimes there has to be some, of course, there'll be some opposition, as Prabhupada writes here. Though there may be many devotees or demons or enemies of the devotee, though there may be many enemies of a devotee, still a devotee has to be tolerant, but also merciful. That despite that, some or other make some plan make an effort to help these conditioned souls, these souls who because of the bodily concept of life cannot appreciate the qualities of a devotee because of their mundane vision. Therefore, the devotee has to be tolerant, merciful, and still friendly. Sudhi Dasarvadehiyam. Still make an effort to help such unfortunate souls. And not be their enemy. Ajata Shatrava Shanta. That still, despite their attacks, despite their aversion or their opposition, sometimes we have to deal with them in a very stern way. Despite all of that, still, the devotees, because they don't have any enmity, there's no enemies. As soon as one develops some enmity toward someone else, they become my enemy. Oh, I don't like how this person does this, or I don't like because they're from here, or because they look or talk like that. They become my enemy. This is not the this can't be found in one who's engaged in unalloyed devotional service. Therefore, we desire that association, as was very nicely described yesterday. Satam prasanga mamavir yudom bam sambido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana bhavanti hrit, because the heart and the ear are pleased by discussions with the devotees. The heart and the ears become pacified. They're not pierced like we find in the material world in material discussions. Material discussions are piercing to the ear and the heart. And you see that every day. That when there's some kind of material motive, some discussion that's not about devotional life or spiritual practices or the absolute personality of Godhead and His wonderful glories, those discussions, they become piercing to the heart. They cause great pain. So in this way, the devotees try to avoid that kind of association. Isn't it? Asat sangyatag evaishnavachara. That sort of association should be avoided. And those who are too materially attached in the bodily concept of life, who are too attached to sex life, for the most part, we can. That's the main principle in the material world. Whether it's man to woman or woman to man, same principle. Because of their attachment, that sort of association becomes undesirable. Durashya yebahartha manina. It's described that because they're very ambitious, right? They're ambitious to enjoy this material world. And they'll do whatever is necessary to achieve that. And we can see it practically in the world today, that people are, the general mass of people are very ambitious to increase their sense gratification. And they devote so much time and energy employing so many persons to develop some kind of new
object. Rupa Goswami describes jana sangas chaloyam cha. We want to avoid such persons who have an ardent longing or greed. Maharaj Parikit, he's so correct, and Prabhupada points it out, he's so correct in making this point that association with the devotees, whether it's whether I have to come back to this material world or I'm so fortunate to go back to the spiritual world, just give me that association of the devotees of the Lord. This is the perfect mentality. This is a reflection of the perfect person. So perfection is possible. Possibility becomes manifest when one engages in the process of bhakti yoga. A devotee of the Lord does not like to associate with non-devotees. That is for sure. Although he has no enmity with them, he desires association with the devotees of the Lord. As we pointed out, satan sangam, ramavirya sangvido, that his only interest is associating with those who are discussing the wonderful transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada points out that this is perfectly natural because birds of the feather of the same feather mix together. And the most important function of a devotee is to have complete attachment for Lord Sri Krishna, the Father of all living beings. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita, Hambija Prajapita, Krishna is the Father of all living beings. So a good son, who understands the mood of the Father, does his best, as Prabhupada points out here, to bring all other brothers. Mahanta se samachitta prashanta vimanyava sarvo vimanyava, what is that? Vimanyava surida sarvo ye. That the devotees of the Lord, they see no difference between this conditioned soul or that conditioned soul. No. They're understanding that they're conditioned souls and that they're meant to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. And such persons are completely devoid of anger and work for the benefit of everyone. Maharaj Parikit, of course, is a very good example of that, but we can see in within our own experience that Srila Prabhupada was such a person, that he was willing to take whatever risks were necessary in order to bring back the upstart sons of the Father to a saner stage and to get them to accept the supreme fatherhood of God. And just as here Prabhupada points out, Maharaj Parikit was certainly going back to Godhead. But even if he were not to go back, he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. So one who is engaged in the process of devotional service properly is certainly the perfect person. A pure devotee does not desire the company of a personality as great as Brahma, but he prefers the association of petty living of a petty living being, provided he is a devotee of the Lord. So, this is the most important instruction, and that is that whatever it takes, right? Yena tena prakarena. Whatever it takes to engage and to engage others in the process of devotional service, we take that and we try to apply it. So there are so many things that one has to do in this material world. We have so many, many responsibilities. But the most and highest and most important responsibility is to some or other be engaged in devotional service and try to engage others. That is the perfect life. So, and are there any questions or comments? Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.